singing glory to his name. He is truly worthy to be praised. Glory to his name. I come to you this afternoon certainly giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend Mike Millen, Minister Riley, my lovely wife, and my beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for someone needs a word from you.
Yes, sir, God.
Speak, Lord, for someone came looking, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Someone came needing, Lord.
Jesus.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Father.
Speak, Lord, for someone came with an aching heart. Speak, Jesus. Lord. Touch right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Take me as I submit, Lord, and use me as a vessel. And do with me what you wish, Lord, but speak a word.
Speak a word, Lord.
Move me way, way behind your cross, like, Lord God, outside of myself, that you may have complete access to me. Speak, Lord. We call on you, Lord, because we know that we can count on you.
Yes, sir, God.
Take charge right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I feel pretty good today.
All right.
Truth be told, I feel wonderful today.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. In spite of it all.
Yes, sir.
I ask if you would turn with me to your Bibles, to the book of Romans. And I want you to turn to the 13th chapter. You had this morning read from you the first two verses of chapter 12 and the last, seven verses in chapter 13. And I want you to keep that in mind, and because that will be part of the context of what we'll be talking about this morning. Starting in Romans 13, I want to just read the first two verses. And they read thusly: let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Mm-hmm. The powers that be are ordained of God. Mm-hmm. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Today, we want to use part four, I believe it is, anticipating hope, either three or four. I got wrote down three, but I want to say it's four. But anyway, it's anticipating hope, and the topic that we want to use this morning is maybe God is trying to tell us something. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. You know, as Christians, we might sometimes find ourselves at a crossroads as it pertains to government. and the powers that be. And by the way, this is not a new issue. This is something we've been dealing with for a while, although we now may be in uncharted territory. But even when our situation is full of challenges, we can confidently pray that the God of hope will fill us with the joy and the peace that comes from believing and trusting in Him. We can count on it that God will never leave us alone. God will never let us down.
That's right.
But we need to be sure that we do our part. The theme that we have for this year, strive to do your best and anticipate God doing the rest. So your part is to make sure that you're doing your best. If you're spending the time you ought to be spending with God, then He will direct your path. He will guide you in the way that you should go. He will tell you what you need to be concerned with and what you need to be doing. Do your part.
Yes.
And understand that all of us will need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
If we want to be able to abound in hope, we'll need the power of the Holy Spirit, because this world can get you down.
Amen.
I don't care how well your planning was. If you're not careful, the world with its situations and circumstances can press you down and just make you, if you're not careful, it'll make you lose your hope. And you start seeing a cloudy way. But if God is allowed to have His way with you, you can abound in hope, no matter how bleak your situations get. He's always there to help us when we ask. Paul said that in Romans 15 and 4, that for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us.
Amen.
So that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The word of God was written so that we would have hope in this life.
Yes.
But it's up to us. We must use these accounts that we read in scripture. We must decide and be determined for ourselves. Where in that scripture does my hope lie? When I read a scripture, when I search the Bible, it's up to me to say, where now does my hope lie? What is God trying to convey to me in His Word?
Yeah.
It's up to us to decide how we apply the scripture to our own lives. So the decision is, will I have hope when I read the Bible, when I read the scriptures like today? Will I have hope? Does that offer me any hope? What is it that God wants me to get out of this? Or will I just read it and say that, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm going to go on and find a good feel scripture. That one sounds like I have to look for hope in now. But
yes.
I need a feel-good scripture. But all scripture was written to encourage us and to build us up in faith,
yes,
in love, and in hope.
Yes.
When you look at the scripture that I read, Romans 13, 1 and 2, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God.
Amen.
The powers that be are ordained of God. Mm-hmm. So whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God.
Jesus.
And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So right now, some of you may be wondering, so how does this current scripture offer us hope? And particularly when you look around yourself and see where we are as a country, where the position that we're in, you say, so how does that scripture offer hope? Where is the hope in that scripture? So in order for us to gain what the scripture is trying to tell us, the scripture tends for us to build up our faith and love and hope. But the only way we can see it in this scripture is that we have to look at some of the verses that precede this scripture, and we have to look at some of the verses that follow this scripture. If you look at what we need to read and for you to go home this evening and look at, you look at the entire chapter 12, an entire chapter 13, and then you can get the complete context of what this scripture is trying to say, what Paul is trying to convey to us, what Paul was talking, trying to convey then, and what Paul is trying to convey now. If we reread that, and we can see what God is trying to tell us. So thus, the entire section, it sees us as Christians, that we are the ones that are being called out to, we're being called out to be non-conforming to the world. God is calling us to be something different. So no matter what the world is doing, what everybody else is doing, but God calls us to be non-conformist.
Yes.
And then the other thing he does is he calls us to love everybody.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again because some didn't hear it.
Love everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Not just somebody. Everybody. Amen. Thank you, God.
You see, because the God that we serve is merciful.
Yes, he is.
He put up with us.
Yes.
God knows we test him.
Amen.
I don't think there's anyone in here that's the real young ones, and they don't test God. They test their parents now.
Yeah.
I think I got some eyebrows. But all of us have tested God, and God is merciful to us.
Yes, he is.
So because we are God's people, we are called to be and to do those things that are in accordance with God's character.
Okay.
We are to be like him. So if I summarize the scriptures, chapters 12 and 13, we are called, first of all, to be non-conforming to the world. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
That's right.
Then we are called to live according to God's standards. And two parts to that. One is as it pertains to other Christians. Romans 12:5 says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another.
Yeah.
Romans 12:12 says, and as Christians, we ought to be rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Let me just digress here a minute, because when we talk about rejoicing in hope.
Uh-huh.
As a Christian, you can't afford, you do not have the right to walk around moping and groping with your head hung down, because the rest of the world is looking to you for hope.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
And you can't give anybody hope if you don't have any.
All right now.
Amen.
So he calls us to be rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation when you're going through something.
Yeah.
Patient in tribulation. It may not be like I want it to be right now, but that's all right, because
yes.
I serve a God who's a on-time God, and
yes,
when I
is.
Need for him
yes.
to come through, he'll be there.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Thank you, God.
And if I have nothing else to do, I'll just pray.
All right, then.
Amen.
We always ought to pray.
Then Paul goes on, he tells us, living according to God's standards, how we should treat the rest of the world, those who are not Christian, those who are not on the same side that we are. In Romans 12:16, he says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, don't run around believing your own press releases. In Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
All right.
Don't let the world, and you have to be careful about this, but don't let the world get in your head, because evil, if you're not careful, evil will make you want to do evil.
Uh-huh.
Somebody keep doing foolish stuff to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not careful, you want to do foolish stuff to them.
Yes.
But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil
with good.
With good. And then Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about other people outside of this Christian realm. But owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, and I'm not going to be here long, I want to just cover three things that we should get out of this scripture today. Number one, we need to understand the sovereignty of God. You see, the sovereignty of God is biblical teaching that all things are under God's rule and his control.
All things.
And nothing happens without his direction or permission.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but God. Some of us think we got power.
All right now.
Some of us think that we are somebody, because I got some things, so it makes me somebody. I got more things than most people, so it makes me better than somebody. It makes me more powerful, but all power belongs to God.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
The powers that be, the illusion that you are somebody, has been ordained by God. So when you see somebody that has less than you, or don't seem to be of your caliber of person, it was ordained By God, you wouldn't be any more than you are had God not allowed you to be who you are.
All right.
All power belongs to Him.
Amen.
There is no power except from God. And the powers, if you want, you could call it authorities that exist, are appointed by God.
Yes.
So, we subject ourselves to governing authorities because they are appointed by God. And they serve a purpose.
Yes.
In God's plan.
Yes, they do.
Oh, listen to me now. You might need this next week.
Yes, indeed.
Might need it 40 days out.
That's right.
But God has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody anywhere in higher places that think they have power, God has a purpose for them to be there.
All right. Mm-hmm.
There is no power except from God.
Mm-hmm.
So God appoints all the nation's leaders, but they're not always appointed to bless the people.
Come on now. Mm-hmm. Say so.
Sometimes he may have them there to judge the people.
Come on here.
Mm-hmm. Or to ripen a group of people
mm-hmm.
for the judgment.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. So understand the sovereignty of God. Nothing is going on that God does not understand. Nothing
absolutely.
Is going on that God already does not know how it's going to turn out.
Yes, amen. That's true.
Mm. Amen.
So understand the sovereignty of God. And then number two, understand who we are
mm-hmm.
because of who He is. Just think of all the mercies of God. All that God has brought you through when you didn't think you could make it or you weren't sure what was going on, but God brought you through. He's a merciful God.
Oh, yes, He is.
Think of who God is. Because of who He is, we can be saved.
Yes.
By faith.
By faith.
Because of who He is, we can have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because without God, we would have no real faith.
That's right.
Faith comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because of God, the Holy Spirit is made available to us. So when we are powerless, and when we think that we need somebody to help us out, somebody to get us up in the morning when everything is going against us, we can call on the name of the Lord and
yes.
He can fill
yes.
us
yes, sir.
And refill us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Because of God and who He is, we can always have hope.
Yes.
In the midst of a storm when everything else seems like it's going to the dogs, but we can have hope because of who God is. We can be sure that in the end, the certainty of God's coming glory. And
yes.
Because of who God is, we can know that He will never separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us
absolutely
from the love of God. Because of who God is, we can have total confidence that God will work it out just like He planned. We can have anticipating hope because we know that what God says will come to pass. Who we are because of who He is. Romans 13:2 says, whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. Since whatever government we are under is under the authority of God,
that's right,
we are bound to obey them. But listen to me, that's not where that sentence stops. We are bound to obey them unless, of course, they tell us to do something in contradiction to God's law. I want y'all to hear me. Then when they give us something to do that's contradictory to God's law, then we are commanded to obey God rather than man.
Yes.
Amen.
You remember when Peter and the apostles were told to stay off the street and stop running around praising the Lord, stop running around talking about God, and they put him in jail. And
yes.
And the Lord opened the doors, and when they went to find him, they found him outside again preaching about God. And they went up to him and they said to him, didn't we tell you?
Yes, sir.
Peter and the apostle said, yeah, but we ought to obey God and not man. So understand who we are because of who he is. And then finally, understand what we are called to be and to do. In other words, how we should stand in times like these.
All right.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yes.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind,
yes,
that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Submit to the authority of leadership as long as it does not conflict with God's authority. Understand when we have to make a decision. Romans 13 and 9 says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal. But this is the one I want you to be sure. You shall not bear false witness. In other words, you ought not be lying. Should not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when your government, when your authority starts lying and telling you to pass on lies, you need to stand up and say, I should obey God
and not man. Yes.
You have a duty as a Christian to stand up and say, I should obey God and not man. When they tell you that you should not love your neighbor as yourself, you need to stand up and say, that's one of God's children.
All right, then.
And I should obey God and not man. You have a duty.
We have a duty.
As a Christian. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Oh, yes.
Know when you should submit to authority, and know when you should stand on the word of God. It's not like you have a choice. If you are a professing Christian, it's certain things that God calls us to do.
That's right.
It's certain things that God expects from us as Christians. Mm-hmm. And if we expect God to intervene every time we moan and groan and cry out for help, we need to obey Him.
Oh, yes.
If you love me, you will obey me. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever there resists the power, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive damnation to themselves. Let me summarize this in closing. God calls us, number one, to obey His law. First, we have to obey His law.
Amen.
Then the law of the land.
Yes.
We are to pray for our leaders.
Yes.
I'm going to suggest a prayer for you.
All right.
Thy will be done. Because some of you may have trouble when you try to pray for leadership. And when it gets tough, it's where we should be praying. Anyway, thy will be done. Because God has a plan. So when we pray for our leadership, God, let your will
be done. Yes, yes.
And above all, follow God.
Yes.
For God I live, and for God I'll die. For God I live, and for God I'll die. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. Are you listening? Maybe God is trying to tell us something. So don't get weak. Don't give up. For God's in control. There is no power except of God. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God.
Yes, sir, God.
He who knows all and sees all. He who has the whole world in His hand.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we ask right now for You just to strengthen us, Lord.
Oh, Father.
Touch us where we are weak. Build us up where we are weary, Lord, but take control, guide, lead, and direct us, Lord. And if it's through the storm, we must go with us, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Oh, Lord, we submit to You right now. We pray that You just take our hand, Lord, and hold us, and don't ever, ever let us go. Oh, Lord, we love You.
Yes, we do, God.
We trust You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, God.